This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening for Wednesday, October 31st, 2012. It is Halloween evening tonight. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Happy Halloween. It's a spooktacular night, Doug. I had to say it.
Spooktacular.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here, Doug.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to have everybody with us tonight listening to the live program or the archive. Good to have you with us. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical humanistic science with specializations in a variety of areas like spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranormal science, hypnosis.
Ghost hunting. Ghost hunting. I had to say it. It's Halloween, Doug. I got to have fun with it for a minute.
Oz. Yeah. We don't do ghost hunting, but we do paranormal research, and I just said doo-doo.
Okay.
All right. So if you want more information, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And before we get into our program tonight, we're going to do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on MCHS Church, as well as these 9 principles, you can visit us at mchschurch.org. So tonight, we are going to be talking about how to find yourself if you're lost, or when you're lost. And this topic really has come about from, I guess, from my own observations. You know, I've just, not everybody, but, you know, there just seems like there's so many people out there who are just lost. They, as Zig Ziglar says, they're wandering generalities instead of meaningful specifics, and they're just lost. It's kind of sad. It really is to me. And so I wanted to do a program on what you can do to find yourself, you know, to integrate yourself into a meaningful whole, if you will. And I mean W-H-O-L-E, not the other one. You know, so
well, you know, Doug, people have a hard time generally, but I think tonight if we can just make mention to all the people who are struggling in the aftermath of, you know, some natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy, but there's people all over the world right now doing amazing things, I might add, that is making them find out who they are. You know, you do find out who you are in the face of adversity, but we really do, seriously, all Halloween and such aside, all of our best wishes and white lights and good thoughts to all the folks who are really having a struggle today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that can, you know, that even carries over into people who weren't affected by Hurricane Sandy, but who've been affected by the economy, by job losses, you know, downsizing, affected by toxic relationships, affected by just adversity in whatever form. And that contributes to being lost, because a lot of times you might be right up there. You know, you're doing good, you're cooking along in life, and then one thing happens after another, and, you know, you find yourself lost. Is that an oxymoron? You find yourself lost?
Yeah. I don't know if there is such a thing as finding yourself lost or being, you know, I feel lost maybe, but that we are lost is not necessarily accurate. But that's what, you know, we tend to say that, you know, I need to find myself. I don't know who I am. You know, I feel like I'm not in my body. And I think what you've said is any kind of circumstance in life can trigger that where we just don't feel right. We don't feel ourselves again. Like, what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what we really want to get into tonight. You know, some tips and techniques that you can use to come back into your body, as Vicki says, you know, to just become whole again, to feel like you're on top of it and you know, charting your path. And that's the point. So I want to talk about, at least starting off, and as we go through our discussion, I want to talk about the Life Leadership Paragon. And if you've heard this show before, you know what that is. It's self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three combine to create self-completeness, which is finding yourself, you know, enlightenment, that type of thing.
Fantastic tool. Fantastic tool. Anybody who's listening, please hear Doug very carefully. This is one of the best things in my toolbox in counseling people. I've used it many times, and it's amazing. So listen up. I know I'm reinforcing that, Doug, but it's really critical. This is good stuff.
Well, it's really these three qualities that create the fourth. You boil everything down, and that's what you're kind of left with, and they cover everything. And I developed the Life Leadership Paragon over many years, and at one point I even had another one in there, but it was just covered. It was redundant. So I really tried to boil everything down into these three concepts that cover just about everything. And so let's talk about the Life Leadership Paragon with respect to ourselves. We're going to apply it. And that's the beauty of it. It can be applied in a whole bunch of different ways. So let's apply it to this whole idea of finding yourself if you're lost. The first one is self-acceptance. And this is a big one. It's a big one for everything. One of the biggest problems on this planet is that the majority of people just don't accept themselves properly in a healthy way. You know, they've got attitudes like, I'm just not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough, whatever it is. There's something about me that I don't like, so it's a big issue, and I know everybody notices it, and honestly, people don't notice it, but we think they do. So it all contributes to really a bad case of low self-esteem, and in most cases, a case of them esteem. And I'll just briefly tell you the difference. Self-esteem is internal expectations and validation. That's when you basically are whole. You live from the inside out. I mean, you set your own expectations and you validate yourself. Them esteem is external expectations and validation. In other words, you only feel good about yourself when other people think you're doing good, or when you get that praise, or when you feel like other people think you're doing the right thing. And that could be, you know, parents, boss, spouse, partner, religion, whatever. So that's the difference between those two. So if you think about it, if you feel like you're lost, ask yourself, where does your self-worth come from? Is it coming from outside, externally? Do you only feel good about you and your life when you're doing what other people think you ought to be doing? If that's the case, then you're suffering from them esteem. And you got to switch that over to internal. You set your expectations. You have expectations of yourself. And make sure those expectations are reasonable, not way too high. This is a problem with people with lower self-esteem, is they set these unreasonable expectations. You know, that to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound and, you know, fly faster than a speeding bullet and all that stuff. And it's just not human. So you got to set realistic expectations, not too high and not too low. And then you have to validate yourself. That means that you don't need, quote unquote, praise or pats on the back from others to feel like you're of value. And that's what self-acceptance is. You got something about yourself you don't like? Fine. I mean, we all have things we would change if we can, and sometimes we do. But that isn't the whole thing that defines us. In other words, a body part or being too fat, too thin, whatever it is, is not the only thing that defines you. There is a lot more that defines a person that's not physical. It's spiritual. It's who you are as a person. It's your core values. Those things define you, and those things need to be chosen deliberately by you as an adult. You know, I've said this a zillion times, we can't just fall back on, that's the way I was raised. As adults, we have a responsibility to choose our core values. Who do we want to be? You know, do we see qualities in other people that we admire? Well, bring those on in. If you admire them, if they make sense to you, don them on. Make those your core values. Not because somebody else does it, but because you think they have value. You see, that's your own expectations. That's your own validation. You've got to accept yourself. There's a lot of things that we all bring to the table, and this is a question that I want you to think about. What do you bring to the table? Now, I ask this question of my students, and every now and then I get somebody who basically evades the question. Well, I don't know right now. I have to get more through the courses before I can figure that out. And I go, wrong answer. Think. What do you bring to the table? What unique talents, gifts, expertise do you bring to the table? We all have them. And you can't just blow past this. If you want to find yourself, then you have to remind yourself what you bring to the table. What value do you offer to the world, to those around you? And I don't want to hear, I can't think of anything. And so here's your assignment.
Yeah.
When this show is over with, at some point, make a commitment to yourself. Have an agreement with yourself. Make an agreement that you will sit down with a piece of paper and write down at least 5 things that you bring to the table, 5 things you like about yourself, qualities, unique talents, whatever, and do that within a minute's time. And if you can come up with more than 5, keep going. Now, what you do with this piece of paper, and you can use an index card if you wish, is you review it twice a day. When you get up in the morning, review it. And at night, before you go to bed, review it and add 1 more. And do that for at least a week. Really think about what you bring to the table. You may have very likely have discounted your talents and qualities and skills. Don't discount them. If they are of value, write them down.
If I can add in something, Doug, is, you know, very often as you review day to day, you're going to find other things. It's just natural that you're going to think there's things I'm not good at. Then what we can do is change that around to say these are things I'd like to be a better manager of. Not that you want control of, not things outside yourself, but these are things you want to be a better manager of. So turn the negative into a management skill. So it's just a suggestion. You know, Catherine, just on this very topic, Doug, Catherine was mentioning in the chat room here, it's a good subject for her tonight. She just lost her job after 8 years.
Yeah,
and of course, it does. And now she's worried about her future at such a late age in her life because she was planning retirement in a couple of years. And, you know, she does add in there that she knows she's going to be okay because she believes also that the universe could be sending a message. Well, a lot of things create these kinds of circumstances. We want to add in here that Kathy is also a graduate of IMHS, and, you know, she's been through the program. She knows very well, but there's a human element in here. We do have to take a moment to say, that sucks, you know, and then gather our energies, gather our forces, and, you know, it's like, what does somebody bring to the table? Well, we happen to know Kathy, and Kathy's a pretty smart cookie. You know, she brings a lot to the table. She's got a lot of skills, a lot of background, just a lot of talent in Kathy. And we know that she's going to sit down with her little piece of paper and do exactly as you suggested, Doug, is what does she bring to the table? Because this is an opportunity. She knows this. Doug, you know that, and I know that. And it's an opportunity to say, wow, this is a big shift. I got to review my life. And, you know, but what do I have and what do I bring to the table? And what do I really want to do? We don't in any way negate the shock and the transition of thinking, because that's a shock. It's a big one. And once it kind of settles and simmers, then you start to say, oh, you get past a little bit of the anxiety and the fear, because these are all very natural human emotions, experiences, and the thinking. So in no way do we say, you know, oh, you don't know who you are, pick up your bootstraps. There is a process that we all understand. But once you've been through that little bit of shock, time yourself. I always say, you know, give yourself a certain amount of time to get used to the idea. And in generalized psychology, 7 days is a pretty average time period to accept, you know, 7 days through shock or trauma before we kind of, oh, okay, I'm here now. And then just giving yourself that extra little bit of time. But, you know, if we can just say to Kathy, we're here for you. Anytime you need to talk, you got friends. You know, IMHS is, we are a family here from all over the world, and that's another reason that we do the show, is to build a network of people, not just be here to offer advice, but to offer support in different ways and hooking people up. So I just wanted to throw that in there, Doug, with self-acceptance is accepting a circumstance,
well,
you know, and learning how to go through that process.
And that, you know, the same thing has happened so many times, and it's certainly not trying to minimize it at all, because it's a shocker each and every time. Here's the thing, though, that I've learned, and this is just an old expression, too, right? I mean, there's always a silver lining, right? When one chapter closes, another chapter opens. But we have to look for that. We have to search for it, and sometimes it's not obvious. But in so many cases, we have this kind of a thing happen, an adversity type thing happen. And down the road, we kind of look back and say, wow, if that had not happened, I wouldn't have had this opportunity or that opportunity. And so it's really there if we just search for it. And that's also part of finding yourself and understanding and accepting your humanness. Like Vicki was just saying, you know, there's going to be a grieving period, you know. Plus, you know, there's those other thoughts that go into losing a job. Well, you know, the rejection part of it, you know, it can come into play. But it's not so much about you, especially in business these days. This downsizing, you know, it's never anything personal. It's just so often a matter of finances. I mean, I've had to do it in the past. I hated to do it. I didn't do it on a large scale because I didn't have that big of a company, but I had to do it. I had no other choice. There was no choice, and it killed me. It absolutely killed me, but it had to be done. So when we have those kinds of things happen, look for that silver lining. Look for the next chapter. one closes, another one opens. It can free a person up to pursue other things. So just keep that in mind. So let's go back to and that's part of self-acceptance, accepting your humanness. Grieve if you feel bad about it, as we talked about in previous shows, give yourself 10 minutes and feel it for all it's worth, then release it. And you use that word, I release it. And you open your hands and gesture, I release it. And you move on. You change the channel of your thinking. You go to something more positive. And you move on. So part of the big part of finding yourself when you're lost is accepting yourself, identifying, recognizing, and accepting that you, as an individual, are unique and have a unique set of talents, skills, abilities, and so forth that you bring to the table and that they're valuable. This is important. You can't minimize that. And we're not, you know, so many people say, well, if I do that, I'll just get a big head. Really? Why do you need to do that? You know, it is what it is. If you bring talents and skills and so forth to the table, it is what it is. Who said anything about being egotistical or conceited? Nobody did. And yet that's a prevalent attitude in society. Well, you know, if I toot my own horn, well, we're not really going there. Just accept that you bring things to the table. I do. I bring a hell of a lot to the table. A lot. You know, does that make me better than anyone else? No. It just makes me unique, just like you. So what do you bring to the table? Identify it and do that over the next 7 days. Write that piece of paper. Write them down. Review it and pat yourself on the back, because that's important. Accept yourself. The next part of the life leadership paragon is self-responsibility. And we often apply that to other things, but let's talk about the responsibility you have to yourself. As an adult, as a sentient adult, do you have any idea of the miracle that is you? The things that had to happen at just the right time, all back through history, for you to be here. If just one of your key ancestors had been shot or killed or something, you wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here. So all these things that had to happen at just the right time for you to be here is nothing short of an astounding miracle. And so often we don't acknowledge that, and yet here we are. Of course, if we weren't here, we wouldn't be talking about it. That's, you know, blinding flash of the obvious. So appreciate that. So as such, as this miracle that you are, you have a responsibility to that miracle, don't you? And that responsibility is know who you are and why you are who you are. It goes back to your core values, deliberately choosing those. Having responsibility to stand tall, to stand erect, to hold your head high, and to be proud of your humanness, to be proud that you are here. It's an attitude adjustment, but you've got a responsibility to yourself. And if you've got kids, they need to see that too. You need to demonstrate that example to them. That's important so that they learn from you. They learn the right way. All right, so you have a responsibility. And never forget that you are where you are because of you, because of the choices you've made. If you don't want to make a choice in life, no problem. A choice will be made for you. Do you want that? I don't think so. So be active, you know, be proactive in making choices.
Boy, this is a big one for me, Doug. If somebody consciously decides to not make a choice, that is a choice. And you take responsibility for not having made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the freedom, absolutely, to revisit that and change your mind and make a different choice. So even when people don't make a choice, that is, even if it's unconscious, not making a decision, not making a choice, being passive, stepping back, not taking it on, not accepting, that is a choice. Whether you think it's a choice or not, saying, I'm not making a choice, is making a choice. It's a big one with me. I harp on it all the time because it's it's a responsibility that you have acted out. Instead, then there is no excuse for victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all victimized in some way, Doug. And we even victimize ourselves in ways that we don't even know. And, I mean, that's unfortunate, but that's part of life. But we are not a victim. So make the distinction between a victimizing situation versus acting like a victim. And when you've decided to not do anything, that is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we take responsibility for that. When I say, I didn't make a choice yesterday, but I can today, I'm taking responsibility for yesterday's not choosing. But I'm also accepting responsibility today that I have the freedom to do that if I so choose. But if I decide again today is not a good day, I have to accept responsibility again that I'm not going to do that. It's good point. It's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's build off of that. You know, I'm glad you brought up the whole victim thing, because folks who are lost, they walk around so often like they are victims. And it's easy to fall into that victim mentality, but you don't have to be that. I'm going to share with you, as I have in the past, what I consider the panacea for all that ails you. And I mean everything. I mean, this is the secret to getting rid of unwanted ghostly visits, to abductions, you know, alien abductions, to toxic relationships. It cures everything. And it may sound like nothing at all, but the more you ponder it, the more profound it becomes. And the cure-all is this: take your power back. That's it. Reclaim your power. Reclaim who you are. Take your power back. That means rethink your boundaries. Don't let your boundaries be encroached upon. Don't encroach upon other people's boundaries. Know who you are and why you are who you are. Take your power back. And when, because something happens to us when we take our power back, we get this attitude that's, you know, okay, I'm done with this. I'm done with this victim mentality. I'm done with being a martyr here. I am going to be proactive. I'm going to assert myself. And notice I said assert, not being aggressive. Assert yourself. Assertiveness is win-win. It's direct. It's empathetic. It's honest. And that's assertiveness. That means that you recognize your own self-worth, and you speak up for yourself when appropriate. It also means we choose our own battles, too. But it means to take your power back, to stand up on your own two feet, to stand high, and accept responsibility for who you are and where you are. You know, when you go and look in the mirror, say to yourself, I am looking at the person responsible for my future, because that's exactly what it is. You are responsible for where you are, just as I am and everyone else. It all goes back to those choices and decisions we've made. So if you want a better future, make better decisions. That means being proactive. That means being responsible.
You know, Doug, you mentioned martyr, the word martyr,
mm-hmm.
very often, and this comes into self-responsibility, and I know you're going to bring this up, but I'm going to segue into it, is if I have the right to choose something, so does everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They have that free will to choose also. But very often, we think that we are doing people a favor by overextending ourselves to do for them. And what we do is we are denying other people their, you know, the one thing to find out what they're made of,
mm-hmm.
how they can excel, you know, to find out the enormity of their inner power. And we're denying them the right to learn self-responsibility. Now, this does not mean we're not interdependent as a humanity, because we are. But we tend to, and a lot of people do this in the name of feeling the need to be needed and that them esteem, and it goes a little too far, is, you know, that martyring thing where we give too much. We have to know when not to give too much. Those very same people, I want to throw in here, are very often the ones who like to do the giving but don't like to receive.
Yeah.
And I challenge people in that they like to control the giving. Therefore, they really don't know what love is. They think they're acting in a loving way to give. But if you can't freely receive it, I've had to learn that, Doug. You've had to learn that in order to really, honestly, genuinely know the experience of love, You must receive it. And in doing that, you become more self-responsible. So you're self-accepting, self-responsible, and you become, it's an amazing feeling to feel that little bit step, those steps closer to being whole.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give away more than you have, but don't take away anybody else's opportunity either to know greater who they are. Big one.
You've been describing the traits of codependence. You know, codependent people are martyrs. They shoulder the problems of the world. They try to fix everything. And the biggest thing they do is that they do things for the people that those people could and should be doing for themselves. Therefore, they enable others. And so if you want to stop being codependent, here's how you do it. Stop doing things for the people that they could and should do for themselves. Doesn't mean you can't do a nice. It just means don't make a practice of doing things that these other adults ought to be doing for themselves. And, you know, that's how you stop codependence right then and there. And that's also part of self-responsibility, responsibility to yourself. So we've talked about self-acceptance. We've talked about self-responsibility. Now let's talk about respect for free will. And so often we think about, well, we should respect other people's free will. But, you know, if you're lost, if you feel down and out, if you feel like your self-esteem has seen better days, you need to respect your own free will. You see, when I talk about what do you bring to the table, that's part of free will too. You bring things to the table, well, you have to respect your free will to be a part of that. So often people will look at others, especially others who have had some success or celebrities or whatever, oh man, if I could just do that, or I wish I had that, or, you know, you can do whatever you want. Remember, it goes back to the choices we make on an everyday basis, but you have to respect your own free will. You have the free will to be who you want to be. You have the free will to make whatever choices you want to make. You know, it's and you have to respect that. So you respect your own free will too, while you respect other people's free will. And along with that free will, of course, is having a healthy attitude about control. You know, we don't control others. We don't try to change others. But we can control and change ourselves. And that's where self-control comes into play. That's part of free will. It's part of self-responsibility. It's part of self-acceptance. It just runs the gamut there. So,
you know, one of the things that you say in the respect for free will is you respect others for their free will, but that doesn't mean you have to accept their beliefs. So that's a good time to explain that.
Well, you know, it's like I respect anybody's right to believe whatever they want as long as they do no harm. You know, believe what you want. I don't care. Just do no harm. And that's really what it boils down to. That means we don't encroach on boundaries. That means we don't give unsolicited advice to other adults. And this is one that a lot of people have a hard time with. Well, what if they're doing something self-destructive? I don't care. It's not your job to mother them. You know, can you share a concern? Sure. But even then, you got to tread lightly because it's really none of your business. They are an adult with free will. If they want to drink themselves into the grave, that's their choice. Oh, that's so terrible. You wouldn't say anything to them? Well, it depends. I might share a concern. But if they want to drink themselves or drug themselves into the grave, that's their choice. And that's exactly the way it should be. Because how many of you want somebody running your life? How many of you want somebody coming to you and telling you how you should live your life? None of us want that. You don't try to change or control another person. Therefore, you don't give unsolicited advice, not even to your adult children. You've done your job. You raised them. Now they're on their own. That doesn't mean you can't share a concern, but and certainly you can give them advice when they ask for it, but you can't put your nose where it doesn't belong. And so many people, especially those who are in addiction counseling or that kind of a thing, they think that's just horrible. You know, you would want to help somebody. Well, yeah, I'll help somebody. But I have learned the hard way that people need to want to be helped, too. And I've also learned the hard way to never do something for another person that they could and should do and should do for themselves, because just like Vicki said a few minutes ago, if you do, you are robbing them. You are literally doing an immoral thing. You are robbing them of their inalienable human right to learn their own lessons and walk their own path. This is a huge, huge deal. We all need to be able to learn our lessons and walk our own path. It's our journey, our individual and unique journey. We are entitled to learn those lessons. And as I've told so many people in the past, you know, if I botch something up, it's my lesson to learn, and nobody has the right to take that from me. It's my experience. It's my lesson. And yeah, sometimes it's very hard. It's very hard. I mean, sometimes it can take years to build something and about 2 seconds to lose it because of a bad decision. I've been there, done that. I know how that is, but it's mine, and you can't take it from me. And that's the attitude that we all should have.
You know, one of the reasons that intervention does not work,
yeah,
is that whoever you're intervening with will always find someone else to agree with them. Mm-hmm. The only time intervention works is when, let's say it is an alcoholic, for instance, and it's the only time a family intervening, it's maybe going to work, is if that alcoholic has nowhere else to go. They're backed in a corner. Mm-hmm. The change is forced. But I can assure you that somewhere down the road, if they hadn't somewhere inside made a simple choice to say, yes, I do want to change, they will be right back to where mm-hmm. they were. And this is why I caution people about think long and hard and make sure you have your pegs in a row. I understand that parents want to intervene with children who are drug addicts or alcoholics or have other problems. But really, if you don't have everything exactly in place, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that whoever it is you think that you're doing a service for has other people who have a like belief system, and they will always find somebody to support that belief system. We know this about religion. We know this about different philosophies of life. We just often don't know where to draw the boundaries when we think something is destructive. Well, I happen to think religion is destructive. It is as destructive to the mind as alcohol is to the body. So mm-hmm. this is, it's all in a relative perspective. We do not have the right to infringe on other people. And I might just add in here, Doug, as a counselor, it is a very interesting challenge to the self outside of my work to not give unsolicited advice, to just be a people, have discussions, learn the skills of just having a discussion, and to not have this inclination, you know, hey, it's pretty natural sometimes to want to say, oh, I have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a solution. I've got good advice for that. But I don't, because I have to just be a people. And it makes things simpler for me. Once you have the skill, it makes it very, very simple. When somebody comes to me to ask me, then I can give suggestions, recommendations. I can work with that. But if nobody's asked me, then mm-hmm. it's a discussion. And keeping in mind, do not give unsolicited advice. Do not do things like intervention unless really it's a life-saving measure. Do no harm. Doing no harm means if you have to, you can step in, but with your pegs in a row, to save a life. But be careful.
Yeah, it's when you try to intervene to, quote, save somebody's life, it's thin ice. I mean, you're on thin ice because, as you've already brought out, that, you know, alcoholics, addicts, whatever, you know, you do an intervention, you're backing them into a corner. What are they going to say? They might go into rehab, but how many times do they come out of rehab and then relapse? I mean, it just goes with the whole thing, the disorder. So be careful about that, you know, because a lot of people say, well, if I tell somebody to stop smoking, I'm trying to save a life. Well, that's none of your business. It's if they didn't ask for it, it's none of your business. So be careful about that. And one thing that you just mentioned, too, that I wanted to share, if you, and I'm not talking about you, Vicki, but our listeners out there, if you are a spiritual counselor, a life coach, or if you're studying to be one, here's a great tip. You know, we talk about, because obviously the clients come to us because they are seeking advice, right? I mean, so they are soliciting our advice. And so, yes, we would be certainly within moral rights to offer that advice. Well, skilled counselors use skillful questions to help the person arrive at a conclusion on their own. And it's all based on a great principle. And here's the principle. If you say it, it's suspect. If they say it, it's true. Just let that slowly simmer for a moment. If you say it, it's suspect. If they say it, it's true. You know, how many times do we hear something and we're not sure it's true, it's suspect. And then we go and we experience it. We see that, oh, wow, it is true. Now we say it. Yeah, it's true. This happened. So now it's true for us. So if you can help the people come to that conclusion, the clients, it will be much more meaningful to them. It will sink in. It will help to change their lives. If you can help them to see it, if you can help them to get to that point where they say it. So that's a good tip for spiritual counselors, life coaches, or anybody really, managers, leaders. It's just a great, great tip. So we're talking about how to find yourself if you're lost. We've given a lot of tips here. Sometimes we're in a position in life where we have a lot of adversity, stuff going on. We feel like we're out of control and we just feel lost. Well, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. Things are not in their proper order. Think about a bedroom and it's all cluttered. You look at it, obviously it's in a state of disorder. You know, that's what adversity is like. But when you clean up the room and you put everything back in its proper order, now it looks sharp, whole different energy, different vibe. Now the adversity quote is gone. So if you're going through adversity, ask yourself, what is not in its proper order? This can come from any number of different sources, dysfunctional relationships, marriages, partnerships, whatever. What's not in its proper order? You know, sometimes two people just don't click. Sometimes two people grow apart. It's neither right nor wrong. It's neither good or bad. It just is. It is what it is. We grow differently. You know, if somebody or a situation is sucking energy from you, something's got to change. You know, that's where the disorder comes into play, and we need to put things back in their proper order. So you've got to figure out what that is, because that will go a long way to helping you find yourself if you're not dealing with the enormous emotional resources required to deal with adversity, to deal with things out of their proper order. Think about a maze. Have you ever been to one of those mazes, maybe around this time of year, Halloween? A lot of times they'll put up hay bales, you know, and they'll make a maze. Well, think about it. You need to get from point A to point B. Which is easier, a straight line or trying to navigate some maze that you don't know? Well, obviously a straight line is much better, much simpler, much less stressful. And yet sometimes we find ourselves in this maze of life and we're not sure how we got in there. We're not sure how to get out. I often likened it to being on a boat on the sea in fog, and you can only see about 2 or 3 feet in front of you, and it's dark and it's misty and it's foggy, and you don't know where you're headed. You don't know whether your ship is headed toward rocks or whether it's headed out to open sea or where. And you got to navigate. And then if you look around, you can usually still see tells or telltale signs of where you're at, what needs to go back in its proper order. Once you put things back in the proper order, in due time, the adversity will lift. And that sense or feeling of being lost will lift. It also helps to do something meaningful to you with your life. What's meaningful to you? What do you find joy in? What do you call a good day? There's that simple question that can be very difficult to answer. What do you call a good day? You know, it can be whatever is meaningful to you, but you've got to find that meaning in life. You know, the meaning in our life is special to us, is unique to us. It's not like, what's the purpose of life? The better question is, what's the purpose of your life? And in order to find the purpose, first you have to have meaning, because a purpose in your life is really the meaning of your life in action. What do you find meaning in, and then how can you express that meaning? That's your purpose. So you find your meaning, and then you express that meaning, and that's your purpose. It can be anything, whatever flips your switch, whatever motivates you, whatever gets you going, whatever gets you out of bed in the morning, as they say. So those are some tips.
You know, I always,
for
I always know
yourself.
It's a good day when I made it through it, Doug. Sorry.
Yeah.
If I made it through it, it's been a good day. Then, you know, sometimes it is, life is just like that. Wow, you know, what kind of day has this been? I got through it, so it's a good one, you know. And what I, how I measure a really good day is if there's something I can pinpoint to say, I became a better human being today.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was through the adversity. Just knowing that I faced an adversity and I got through it has made me a better human being. You know, I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't yell at anybody. You know, I check in with myself, all those little things. Did I accept who I am? Did I stay in my integrity? You know, did I keep with what I know is true for myself? Was I self-responsible? Did I act accordingly? I didn't infringe on anybody else. You know, all those little checklists, then I know it's been a good day. So we don't need a big event to say,
right,
wow, this is a great day. You know, Doug, you said it yourself. You had a really great weekend,
mm-hmm,
this past weekend. It's because you and your wife, you went shopping, you did a few things, you each had projects going, you're working on a couple of projects, and you say, wow, this is a really good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were still working, you still got things done, but it was productive, it was sharing, it was loving. You know, there might have been a few things in there that you had to check in with or challenge, you know, but that's the kind of thing we say, wow, that's a really good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good measure. You know, it's a good measure, but really what it was is, I think, and I'm just going to speak for you for a second, is it was peaceful.
Mm.
You were,
that's what I was thinking. It was peaceful.
Yeah.
There was really no stress. It was an incredible weekend. I mean, and most of my days are that way. Most, not all, but most of them are that way. And that's the reason is that they're that way is because I want them to be that way. I choose for them to be that way. And I don't deal with stuff. I live that. I don't deal with crap anymore. If something's come up, I handle it when I need to handle, if it's mine to handle, and I'm done with it. And I move on because I don't allow stress and disaster and disorder into my life. Not anymore. Lived with it way too long. Will not do it anymore. And I don't care what the cost is. I don't do that stuff anymore. And so that's a good point.
One of the things in your life leadership paragon is don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things that to mention at this point, you know, having gone through all of these different pointers and finding out who you are, if you're taking yourself too seriously, then you know that that's just going to feed itself. And it's lighter things to think about, even if it's really small. Small, little, tiny things can lift you up, even lift you up a little bit from where you were. And don't take it so seriously. There is joy. There is laughter. There is stuff. It may not be, you know, everybody's having a party, but it's a small thing that is a little less than the seriousness. You know,
mm-hmm,
we got enough serious
stuff. Point. And that's something you have to remind yourself, or you may have to remind yourself of every day, not to take yourself too seriously. I do, and sometimes I forget. And I need to always remember not to take myself too seriously because it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about all of us. It's about working together. It's about peaceful coexistence. It's about finding out who we are. And that's why this topic is really a great topic. Even if you don't think you're lost, we can still strive to learn more about ourselves, to learn more about who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. This is a fantastic journey that we're on, guys. We end up letting the life and the world and all that stuff really sidetrack us. You know, the paying the bills and eking out an existence and raising the kids and getting them their braces and their clothes and all that stuff, their school supplies and all that stuff, it just distracts us. And you know, yes, we have to do all that stuff. I get it. But don't forget to buy out time for yourself. We all need our downtime. We all need our private time. Even married people need alone time. That's not bad. It's healthy. We all are our own people, so we have to allow each other to be, you know, our own people. You need to be you, they need to be them, and you need that downtime, that alone time. And you need to be alone with your thoughts. So whatever that means to you, go do that. If that means go fishing, go fishing. If it means running, then go run. If whatever it means for you, go spend that time. Try to do that every day or two or three. You got to have some time to be with alone with your thoughts and think about the bigger picture here, because I'm telling you, you don't want to get to the end of your life with a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if-onlys, and the might-have-beens. And so many people do that. They it's just like life just blows right by. I mean, it just speeds right by. And you find yourself, you know, one day you're 18, the next day you're 53, the next day you're 86, you know, and it's like, Wow, what happened to all that? And what about all those things I wanted to do and all those dreams? That is a sad thing right there, is we all had those dreams when we were kids. What am I going to be? What do I want to do? You know, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And somehow life gets in the way. We get married, we have kids, we have a job, we have this, we have that. And then all of a sudden, no time left, no money, no resources. And where did it all go? Don't let that happen to you. I don't care where you're at in your life. You know, make plans to live your dream, whatever that is. Make plans to do those things you want to do.
I hear you trick-or-treaters, Doug, and I think that's awesome. You know, and it just right in line with what you're saying, as a grandparent, and I know you're a grandparent, the one thing I am is more emotionally available when I have time with my grandchildren. And I look back at my life having raised kids. When I was sitting down actually coloring with them, I wasn't always emotionally available because I'm there. My body is there, but I'm thinking about cooking supper. I'm thinking about doing dishes and getting the laundry in. I'm not completely present in the moment. And if I can have just impart just a little bit of wisdom to all you folks out there who spend time with children and spend time even with other loved ones, be present. Be emotionally present in that moment.
Great point.
Don't let your thoughts get all distracted, because that's when you lose who you are. That's when you're not living the moment of the experience. There's a richness that we lose. So I don't have regrets of my life, but if there is such a thing as regret, it's wishing I was more emotionally present for coloring in the coloring book and doing little homework exercises, or, you know, when we go on little adventures together, that I could be more present. And I've learned that as I got older, and I think that's the grace of age and being a grandparent, not to miss a moment of a funny conversation or the wisdom of a child, and being there to laugh about that. So no matter how lost I might feel, which I don't usually, honestly, no matter how stressful or little things that we have to deal with in life, I just think about my grandchildren, it puts a smile on my face. I challenge parents to do the same thing. When you think of your child, does that put a smile on your face? You know, because there's always a way to find a small bit of joy that brings you back alive again into the moment, you know, and you are self-accepting, you are self-responsible, you are respecting free will, you are complete in the moment, just being who you are.
Great points. And so as we talk about all of this, finding joy, don't let the world define you. Don't let other people define you. You define you. That's part of that self-acceptance. It's part of knowing who you are and why you are who you are, because you have defined you. You know, look for those little moments of joy and just be who you are and understand that it's perfectly okay to be who you are as long as you do no harm. Be who you are. Live the way you want to live. It's your right without judgment. Are some people going to complain and gripe? Sure. So what? You know, they're living their life. You know, it's okay. Be who you are. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, some folks, I've seen this too many times, there'll be a married couple, and one of them might be gay, but they don't want to admit to that. They're in the closet, as they say. And so they end up getting married, have kids, and they go many years until they just can't restrain it anymore. And then, you know, changes are made. It's okay to be who you are. You know, we can't carry that emotional burden forever. I've seen this so many times, and it's not just in that area. It's in many others. When we are not true to who we are, when we're trying to live somebody else's life, it's like compressing a spring, in a tough spring at that. We try to keep it compressed, and at some point, when we get into our early 30s, usually we can't hold it anymore, and we just let go, and that spring goes zinging all over the place, you know, and it goes out of control. So understand that it's okay to be human, that it's okay to be who you are, that it's okay to be that way without judgment. And if people judge you, so what? What you think of me is none of my business. Life is way too short, and it's way too long to not just be who you are and live who you are. That's the long and the short of it.
You know, I say that there's certain wonderments of the 21st century, Doug. The first one is Tylenol. You gotta love a Tylenol. I mean, 21st century, come on, everybody.
And
Tylenol.
Diet Coke, don't forget that one.
Diet Coke, you know, toilets, running water. Oh, and
yeah.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
I mean, these are some really wonderful joys of life. And here's the other thing that we have in the 21st century. At least in most places in the world, we're not burned at the stake. Mm. You know, we're not largely persecuted, at least in a developing nation. We have to acknowledge that there are nations that are facing a lot of turbulence for being who they are and who they want to be. But there is an evolution, and we are an evolving planet, an evolving humanity. And many of us who have the privilege of living in a place where we are free to be who we are, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to walk into areas where we know we're going to be persecuted. We can't be foolish. You know, we have to be sensible. We have to be just use a brain cell, I say, sometimes. But it's we have a lot of privilege. We have a lot of opportunity. And I think sometimes we have a little bit too many choices, perhaps, too many things that complicate.
Can there ever be too many choices? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there can. You know, it's like being in a big toy store and you just want it all, and that
Well, that's
conjures
a choice. That's one choice.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with that? Gee,
yeah,
you just spoil all my fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But we are privileged. You know, we are in a good place in history, and we have this huge, wonderful window, doorway of opportunity to keep that propelling, for us to continue to grow, to continue to redefine ourselves as a humanity. But that starts, as you and I both know, at the individual level. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, be who you are.
Well, that time has, our time's really run out. I'm sorry I didn't get to the guided meditation for this tonight. We just had too much information
wow.
to go over. But, folks, a lot of information packed into this hour, so go back and listen to it if you need to. No need to be lost or to feel lost or to be in a state of disorder. The choice is yours, and it's all within you. You can do anything you choose to do. Just make that choice to take your power back. We'll be back next week with another topic. We appreciate your time. Visit mchschurch.org for more information, or metaphysicsinstitute.org for more information on getting your degree in metaphysics. With that, good night, Vicki. Good night, everybody. Have a great week.
Good night, Doug. Good night, everyone.